I'm Lindsay Bergson, and you would think that as long as we've been on this planet and we see that the things that we took as gospel historically turn out to be absolutely wrong, like the earth being flat or round and many other examples of it, you think that we would walk through this life with a bit more humility. I don't know. And I see people become born-again nutritionists, just zealots about the particular way they're going to eat or the particular importance of the nutraceutical that they're lecturing or writing about. We have seen, and I have discussed it myself, about the robust correlation between vitamin D, and I'm not talking about discipline, but I'm talking about the true pro-hormone vitamin D in the fat-soluble family of A, D, E, and K, vitamin D now being linked to many things. It's vitamin D plays a critical role, as we all know, in bone formation, but it turns out that it's very important for the immune system to have eyes. And in breast cancer patients that have lower levels of vitamin D, they have a much poorer prognosis than breast cancer patients who don't, because vitamin D gives the immune system eyes to see the cancer cell and then be able to take action. And it also inhibits proliferation and angiogenesis, which is the blood supply, the fuel, the food for the cancer cell. And low levels of vitamin D are associated with increased mortality, dying younger, earlier, from heart disease, diabetes, cancer, MS, allergies, asthma, infection, depression, mental illness, musculoskeletal pain. I mean, it's linked to, there was one study where they gave really high levels, 250,000 units in the last 2 weeks of the menstrual cycle to reduce very heavy menstrual pain. So vitamin D is really being looked at everything, and so people are jumping on the vitamin D wagon and looking to keep their levels at a very robust amount. But last spring, we had an article that showed that very high levels of vitamin D might be linked to pancreatic cancer. And it's the Goldilocks principle once again, not too much, not too little, but just right. So where we think we know it all, how can that be just right? How can we really even know it all? This new study really makes our vitamin D narcissistic position greatly in question. And what this study did, and it was came out in November of 2012 from the Department of Gerontology at Leiden University Medical Center in the Netherlands, and it was based on the Leiden Longevity Study, where they're taking a look at a bunch of people that are elderly and trying to figure out why they're getting to live so long and so well. And then they publish their research in the Canadian Medical Association, which is like, you know, their main medical peer review journal. But the upshot of this whole thing was when they took a look at these people who were getting to live healthfully for a very long time, called nanogenarians, because they're living in their 10th decade from 90 to 99 and a pretty high quality life. These are nanogenarians, and they also looked at the offspring, the boys and girls born to these nanogenarians. And what they are thinking is that they probably have an aging suppressor protein, and they can pass that on to their kidlets, this aging suppressor protein. But the caveat, keeping us humble, something always comes from left field to keep us humble, we found that researchers said that familial longevity was associated with lower levels of vitamin D. Lower levels of vitamin D. And what they found is that familial longevity, so kaggles of families that go on to produce healthier, older gents and ladies, these people had lower levels of 25-hydroxyvitamin D. So this puts a little monkey wrench in our robust enthusiasm to go out and raise all of our vitamin D levels. And I just was at a Dr. Alan Gaby, who's a colleague, friend, and mentor of mine, and he was giving a talk, and he put up several slides discussing a number of epidemiologic studies that showed that as vitamin D levels increased, cancer rates also increased. So he was even wondering, since so many people are coming out low in vitamin D, perhaps there's a variety of different metabolites of vitamin D and we're not measuring the right one, or we need to measure more. So vitamin D is kind of new on the scene. About 10 years ago, I was really talking about the relationship of low vitamin D and issues with breast cancer patients, the incidence and the recurrence and research continues to come out on that. I wrote about the importance of vitamin D and safe hormones in smart women, but like with all other things, it appears to be a Goldilocks thing. Not too much, not too little, and for different people, different amounts are hitting the Goldilocks mean. Different people have a different Goldilocks mean. So there is a biochemical footprint of everything inside of us, an optimal biochemical footprint, and vitamin D is no different. So don't just start downing massive amounts of vitamin D. But this is in a group of people where many people in the family tend to live younger, longer, and have this potentially theoretical age-suppressing protein. They call it the clotho protein. And they tend to have low D and tend to live long and well. So the bottom line of it all is none of us can be a know-it-all. And whoever comes across that they know just how something is happening just because they know the literature at this moment in time, run for them their hills the other way. Especially when they're talking about vitamin D, we can see where the trend of the literature is going, and we know we don't want to be excessively low in vitamin D, but we're just not exactly sure what is the optimal level for all people. Once again, it's another lesson in life that makes us more humble and more compassionate, hopefully, and also hopefully less arrogant. This is BodyMindHormones.com. Bye.